Mark comes to preach two readings. If you want to follow them from the book of Joshua, starting on page 206 in the Pew Bibles. That's the first one is Joshua 1, verses 1 to 9. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the River Jordan into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep the book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Second reading is Joshua chapter 3, also verses 1 to 9. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priests carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 2,000 cubits between you and the ark. Do not go near it. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Joshua said to the priests, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people. So they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so that they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river. Joshua said to the Israelites, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God.
Hey, you probably noticed that my version's a bit different. I'm a big fan of a Bible called the Complete Jewish Bible. It's a Messianic Jew who's retranslated the Old Testament, and he's retranslated the New Testament. He's also done the Old Testament as well. He's not an amazing Hebrew scholar, so his Old Testament isn't quite as strong as his New Testament. But I love it. It's great translation. If you're interested in that kind of thing, I'd encourage you to check it out. Complete Jewish Bible. The thing I love about it is that I find that it often makes sense of passages that are traditionally quite difficult to understand, and you seem to read it in this and you think, oh, that makes perfect sense. So I like that. I'm a simple man. Okay, so alright. I'm gonna talk to you a little bit tonight. I'm gonna kind of unpack this passage a little bit. But I want to set the scene before I do that. And you know, as I said earlier, transitions is all about journeying to a life free from addictive behaviour. And for us, that's not just about no, we don't need that one, Tim. If you go back to the verses, that's fine. Excellent. Just right back to Joshua 1. That's great. For us, it's not just about quitting drugs and alcohol and giving up drugs and alcohol and stopping using addictive substances, but it's about discovering our purpose, or the young people with us, discovering their purpose and experiencing fun and freedom. Basically coming into the promised land. And that's what is about to happen in the passage that we just heard. And, you know, I'll unpack this a little bit more in a minute, but Joshua and the Israelites have been on a massive journey, haven't they? If you know the story, you'll know that they left Egypt, they went through the Red Sea, God brought them through the Red Sea, and then they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, and again, I'll kind of unpack that a little bit more in a minute. And then they come to the Jordan, and this is kind of their second crossing. And a friend of mine who travels the world working with Christian addiction services, a guy called Treflin, a good friend, he says that in Christian rehabilitation, we're great at helping people leave behind their drugs and alcohol, but we're not always so good at helping them embrace the future. So we're great at helping them to get drug and alcohol free, but actually finding a brand new life that is, discovering their purpose, coming into their promised land, we're not so always so good at that in Christian drug and alcohol rehabilitation. And it really takes a lot of courage for people to leave drugs and alcohol behind if they've been used to dealing with their emotions through drugs and alcohol for years and years and years. It takes a lot of courage for people to begin a new life. And like the Israelites, it's really easy to look back to what we know, isn't it? It's easy to look back to what we know and think, actually, that works for me. I know that works for me. But I don't know what the future holds. It's scary. It's uncertain. It can be really easy to go back to what we know rather than facing a new landscape, an uncertain situation, unfamiliar experiences. And I think that's how it is for us, not just whether we're trying to get over addiction or give up drugs or alcohol. I think that's just, natural. That's how we grow, isn't it? We have to leave things behind in order to grow, don't we? Do you agree? Yeah? And that's the way God's made human beings. That, I think not just naturally, but spiritually, that in order to grow and develop and mature, we have to leave things behind and embrace new and uncertain things. Whether that's going from primary school to secondary school, whether that's moving out of our family home, whatever that is, whether it's having a child, there's all kinds of, kind of milestones in human life. That in order to grow, we have to leave behind the past that we know and embrace an uncertain future. And sometimes that can happen, obviously, because of really tragic circumstances as well. I think Paul sums it up really well. He says in 1 Corinthians 13, "When I was a child, I thought like a child, I acted like a child, I behaved like a child. But now I'm a man, I leave childish ways behind me." I really like that. I think that's a great summary. So I just want to tell you just a brief bit about my story. I'm going to kind of fill this out tonight with little personal illustrations because I hope that helps and can kind of illustrate some of this. But just to springboard off into this this passage, I just want to tell you about how it was for me stepping out into my current role. So I've been with Future Hope for 10 years. Future Hope was something I set up, and it was going really well at the point at which God spoke to me about moving on. And I had a job came along, a 2-day-a-week job, working for a national Christian charity doing addictions training, and I felt God was saying that I needed to do that. That's a kind of another story. But then when transitions came along, I'd been working on it just in my spare time, really. And I knew that if we wanted to grow transitions, I needed to step out in faith, but we didn't have the money. Now, Joe and I were about to have our second daughter. We've got a mortgage, so, you know, we need to pay the mortgage. We need to look after our kids. That's really important. I believe that God's in that stuff. But in order to do that, in order to do transitions, I had to take a step of faith, and we didn't have enough money to employ me 3 days a week. It wasn't there. We worked out we needed about £10,000 for a period of a number of months, and that would mean that we could employ me and do the other kind of stuff that we need to do in setting up transitions. But obviously I had to hand in my notice before I knew that was going to happen. You know, I needed to let Future Hope know. So I handed in my notice in November, and 2 months later was facing the prospect of not having enough money to work. And we were obviously praying loads. And literally I went on Christmas holiday thinking, okay, God, wow, I really expected you to provide it by now. It's 20th of December, you know, we've only got 10 days before the year's out and I'm starting a new job. It's a bit scary. And I got back from our Christmas with my family and got a call from our treasurer basically saying, someone's given us a donation of 10 grand. And I was blown away, could not believe it. Well, I could believe it, obviously, but, you know, God's so good. He really honoured that step of faith. I had no idea that that was going to happen. I just believed that God wanted me to step out. So that's a little while ago now. But anyway, that kind of sets the scene that what I want to talk to you about tonight from this passage is faith and following, or following in faith, because I really believe that's really what sums up this passage, or these two passages from Joshua. So I'm going to give you a little bit of background, and then I'm going to briefly unpack. You know I'm renowned for I can sometimes go a bit over time when I speak. I'm going to briefly unpack, as briefly as I can, seven principles. So some of them will be brief, some of them will be a bit fuller. Okay. So, obviously we're looking at the crossing of the River Jordan. Everybody, well, you probably know the passage quite well. And this is part of our shared history, isn't it, as God's people? It's part of our shared history. We're all part of God's people now. We all get to be part of God's people because of Jesus and what he's done for us. So this is part of our shared story. And I think it's not just... it's not just relevant to transitions. Obviously, I talk quite a lot about transitions. That's kind of close to my heart at the moment. But it's really relevant to us personally, I think. Because many Christians, in my experience, don't make it into the promised land God has for us in this life. They don't enjoy all that God has for us now and the promised land he wants to give us now. They get saved. They experience God, Jesus' forgiveness. And they, you know, come to know God and how amazing he is. And then they just live life as if nothing else happened. And, you know, that's the danger. We can all get in that situation. That's not I'm not criticizing people who are in that situation. But that isn't what God wants for us. I really don't believe that's what God wants for us. Okay. So I'm going to just, I'm going to unpack this a little bit. I'm going to lead us up to where we are now. So about 4,000 years ago, the Israelites were in Egypt, weren't they? They'd been in Egypt for about 430 years, and they ended up in slavery to cruel Egyptian masters. You know the story. But towards the end of that time, God raised up a leader, Moses. And around 1450 BC, roughly, he parted the Red Sea as Moses led the people of Israel out of Egypt through the sea on dry ground. Absolutely phenomenal. I can't really think of a bigger miracle apart from Jesus rising from the dead. It is amazing, isn't it? But the next 40 years, like I say, they just wandered around in the wilderness. And the reason for that is because 10 spies were sent out to see what the land was like. And out of those 10 spies, only 2 of them believed that God had was going to give them the land. The other eight came back with a bad report and said, the people are giants, it's a, you know, we're never going to take the land, it's going to be a disaster. And you can read about it in Numbers 13 and 14 if you want to read a bit more of that story. But basically, the people sided with the spies who said, we can't do it. And only Joshua and Caleb, they were the only two spies who came back and said, yes, God is with us, we can take these people, he's given us this land. All the other people said, oh God, it would have been better if we'd have died in Egypt. It was better in Egypt. Why didn't we just die in Egypt? And like I said, I think it's so easy for us to do that, isn't it? When we're at moments of transition, moments of change, moments of crossing the Jordan, metaphorically speaking, it's easier to just look back and say, well, that, I know that life. I know what that's like. And in my experience, whenever God wants to take us on, it's tougher, it's a bigger, more difficult step than it was previously. You know, in our faith journey. Kind of it gets harder as we go along. We've got more experience of God, which is wonderful, but actually the decisions and the challenges get harder. Oh, that's great. That's how we grow. That's how we come to know that God is real and he's with us. So what happens in Egypt is... God basically says, well, nobody aged 20, 20 plus, nobody's going to set foot in the promised land. They're all going to die in the desert because you didn't believe me, despite the fact I brought you out of Egypt through the sea on dry ground, despite the fact I did that phenomenal miracle and set you all free from slavery. You didn't believe me, and actually I've just had enough with this generation. So nobody aged 20 and above is going to see the promised land. So a whole generation didn't enter the promised land. And Hebrews tells us the reason that didn't happen is because they didn't mix the word with faith. They didn't mix what God had told them. They didn't mix it with faith. So they spent 40 years wandering around in the wilderness. And then Moses dies after appointing Joshua to lead the people into the promised land. And that's basically where we're up to right now. Okay. That brings us right bang up to where we are now. So I'm going to take us through this passage. I've got, like I said, I've got these seven points that I want to draw out of it. Because my hope for us tonight is to inspire us to follow with faith, like Joshua. To be people who follow with faith. That's without faith, it's impossible to please God, isn't it? It says that in Hebrews. So if we don't have faith, if we don't believe God, if we don't believe that he rewards those who seek him, it says, if we don't believe that he exists, you know, it's impossible to please him without faith. God rewards those who seek him. He is a faithful God. So, how do we follow with faith? I think it's a real challenge. It's certainly been a massive challenge for me. I've been for a really difficult time of following with faith over the last couple of months. There's been a number of difficult things that have come together. I found it super difficult to trust God at this time. And fortunately, God's prompted me to do a 40-day prayer challenge during that time. And I was so glad I was in the midst of this 40-day prayer challenge when everything was going on, because otherwise I can honestly say I would have probably been a nervous wreck. So the first thing I want to draw out is in verse 1. So here we go. After the death of Moses, the servant of Adonai, or the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, that doesn't seem very encouraging. It's quite blunt. But Joshua has seen Moses lead the people through the Red Sea, hasn't he? He's Moses' assistant. He's been up the mountain of God with Moses. He's seen like Moses' face glowing when Moses has talked with God, and after Moses has been up the mountain and talked with God. So he knows that Moses, he's seen all that Moses has experienced and how Moses has lived. So I think it's kind of like a reminder to Joshua. Remember what God has done. Remember what God did in Moses' life. But that's over now. But it was amazing, wasn't it? Yeah? What God did through Moses is amazing, it's mind-blowing. So that's my first thing, to follow with faith. Remember what God's done in your lives. Don't forget it. Tell stories about it. You know, share it. Talk about it over dinner. Some of you probably know that our second daughter, Jemima, is a miracle. We were told that she would need surgery within the first few hours to days of her life. And God completely healed her. She was getting worse and worse. And when the consultant at Specialist Hospital in London, UCLH, spoke to us, he said, I would have expected your baby to get worse from the moment you came in here, and now there's nothing wrong with her. And another doctor looked at us and he said, do you know what? I hardly ever get to give good news in this job. This is amazing. I tell that story every chance I get. If I've known you for 2 minutes and you ask about my kids, you're going to hear that story. Yeah, and that's a reminder to me that God is faithful. He is faithful. And he's done amazing things in my life. He's done amazing things, I'm sure, in all of your lives. But often it's easy to forget we're in the midst of a challenging situation, isn't it? I don't know about you, I think this is about as challenging as it gets where Joshua was at with the people. It's tough, isn't it? He's just his mentor, his great mentor and leader has just died. And God just says, get up. Moses, my servant, is dead, so get up. Wow. So remember what God has done. Verse 2. Don't give up because waiting is worth it. So whatever God's called you to do, whatever promise he's put on your heart, if it's from God, if he's put a desire in your heart, a godly, good thing, and or he's called you to do something, or you've been praying for salvation for someone, don't give up because the waiting is worth it, because God is faithful and he keeps his promises. So verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. So now get up and cross this over this Jordan, you and all the people, to the land I'm giving to them, the people of Israel. God does not forget his promises. He is going to give them the land. But I want to suggest to you that in order for the new to come, the old has to die. And that can be really tough. But in order for the new to come, the old has to die. Moses had to die for Joshua to be able to lead the Israelites into the promised land. Yeah? If you track the story, you just read it through, follow it through, you'll see that had to happen. Otherwise they weren't going to come into the promised land. Moses was not going to set foot in the promised land. And whether it's letting go of a job that we've been familiar doing for ages, whether it's a relationship that's unhelpful for us and God's calling us to move on, whatever it is, if you want to embrace the new stuff that God's got for you, sometimes that means you have to let go of the old stuff. That's the way we grow. All right, so we're on number 4 already now. I told you it was going to be quick. Okay, so number 4. So focus on God and what he has said and what he has promised. So this is chapter 1, verse 3 to 5. Let me read from my version here. So I'm giving you every place you will step on with the sole of your foot, as I said to Moses. All the land from the desert and the Lebanon to the great river, the Euphrates River, all the land of the Hittites and on to the great sea in the west will be your territory. No one will be able to withstand you as long as you live. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will neither fail you nor abandon you. I don't know about you, but I think that is brilliant. And I imagine Joshua focused on that a lot over the next few days. Yeah? And in this passage, it's always great when God says stuff, but really what God's saying is, my presence and my faithfulness. I will neither fail you nor abandon you. Yeah? So I'm going to be with you. I'm not going to abandon you. So that's about his presence. God's presence is going to be with us. He promises. This morning, our speaker, Andy Jack, spoke about, the reminder in Hebrews that never will I leave you nor forsake you. God promises to be with Joshua. But he also promises that he's not going to fail. That God isn't, his faithfulness is concrete. It's something we can rely on. We can trust him. It doesn't just mean that he's going to be there with us, but he's reliable. Yeah? Yeah? Is that how you found God? I really hope it is. He really is reliable. I wasn't going to share this now, but an amazing, when I was speaking to Andy Jack, who spoke this morning at the end, we were just chatting, and he said a church, I wasn't sure if it's a church he's part of now or that he leads now or a church that he was, that he speaks in, have spent 23 years pursuing a dream that God has given them. And I thought, wow, that's amazing. 23 years. Transitions for us has been like 2-3 years now since the very early beginnings of it. 23 years this church has spent, and they've just broken through to what they believe that God has got for them. I think that's pretty cool. Okay, number 5. Chapter 1 verse 6. So be strong, be bold, for you will cause this people to inherit the land I swore to their fathers I would give them. If you're going to follow Jesus with faith, if you're going to follow with faith, you need encouragement. Big time. You need encouragement. And what I love about this is God doesn't just give Joshua encouragement it's not just about God. He actually gives Joshua encouragement about himself. So he says to Joshua, you will lead this people. It's going to happen. You're going to be the man to do it. So if you've got a calling, if you've got something God's put on your heart, and it's a godly thing, and you've prayed it through with other people, and you're really convicted about it, really know that God wants you to be that person to see that through. It's not for someone else, it's for you. Don't miss out on it. And you know, I remind myself that time and time again with transitions, God, I know you've called me to do this, and I know you haven't led us this far for it to all fail now. Be strong, be bold, for you will cause this people to inherit the land I swore to their fathers I would give them. Yes, it's all about God and how amazing he is, but it's also about us as well, isn't it? Because we're co-workers with Christ. Okay, the next one is obedience. So chapter 1 verses 7 to 9. Right, I'm just going to read it and then unpack it just briefly. So, only be strong and very bold. We're getting the message now, I think, aren't we? In taking care to follow all the Torah, all the teaching, all the law which Moses, my servant, ordered you to follow. Do not turn from it, either to the left, to right or the left, then you will succeed wherever you go. Yes, keep this book of the Torah, of the law, on your lips and meditate on it day and night, so that you will take care to act according to everything written in it. Then your undertakings will prosper and you will succeed. Haven't I ordered you? Be strong, be bold. So don't be afraid or downhearted because the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now this is kind of a two-point thing really, but if you're going to follow God with faith, you need to be obedient. I need to be obedient. We need to be obedient. If we're going to follow with faith, we have to be obedient. And here we're told that we need to have an internal and an external obedience. So meditate on the law, and then basically that will help you do what it says. So meditate on it, talk about it, don't let it depart from your lips, talk about it, share it, discuss it, chew on it, think about it over and over again, and then do what it says. Do what it says. And I don't know about you, I don't think meditation is very easy. I don't find meditation something that comes very naturally to me, but Joe and I, my wife and I, have been exploring something called Lectio Divina. If you don't know what Lectio Divina is, I really recommend it. It's a way of really kind of chewing and meditating on God's word. It's just like a simple 4-step process. I'm not going to take you through it now, but we did it on, I think it was Tuesday night this week, Monday or Tuesday night, and it was one of the passages that was used this morning from 2 Corinthians about God being able to give you everything you need, make all his grace abound to you so that you've got not just got everything you need for yourself, but also you've got everything you need for every good work that he's given for you to do. I thought, that's amazing. And I was chewing on that. I was thinking, God, it doesn't feel like that quite often, to be honest, you know. Feels like it's a bit of a challenge. And I was really chewing on this verse. And I have to say, the day since then, I feel like my whole perspective has shifted on like where I'm at with transitions and my other job with Life of the World. We're facing running out of money in the middle of August, just as Joe and I take on a new mortgage. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, God, what's going on? But actually, my whole perspective has shifted. That God's in this. God's in this. God is good. He's providing. He's with us. Yeah? And he's got all we need for every good work. And for us as well. So I'd really encourage you, chew and meditate on the word, and then do what it says. And then it finishes off with, you know, a bit more encouragement in verse 9. And we're going to, we've got one more point for you as we look at chapter 3. So I'm not going to read all of chapter 3. Essentially, chapter 3 is really about preparing. It's about getting ready for what God's going to do. You know, Joshua gets up early in the morning. He gives instructions. He gets the Israelites ready. And they consecrate themselves and they're really preparing for what God's going to do. But when they step out, when they come to the point of the Jordan, they have to step in before God does anything. So it's not like the Red Sea. God parts the sea and they walk through. With the Jordan, they have to step in before anything happens. I think that must have been really difficult. Really difficult. And that's a really good principle that you find in scripture, that signs follow. They don't precede. We'd like the signs to precede, wouldn't we? We'd like the signs to come in advance. We'd like to know God's doing the miracle before we get there. But no, the signs follow. So if we can just look at that. Keep going, Tim. It's verse 8. There we go. Now you are to order the Kohanim, that's just the priest, that's the Jewish word for priest, carrying the Ark of the Covenant as follows. When you come to the edge of the Jordan River, you are to stop in the Jordan itself. Nothing happens until that moment. Nothing happens. And the thing I love about this, that I find amazing as I've chewed on these chapters, is that God never says to Joshua, I'm going to pile up the waters. He never says it. He just says, you're going to take the Israelites through and take the promised land. And I kind of read this and I was thinking, come on then, let's read it. Let's see. And I think, oh, I can't find this. God didn't actually explicitly say to Joshua, what's going to happen is I'm going to take you through the Jordan. The waters are going to pile up so you'll be able to walk through and take all the people through it. He didn't say it. But Joshua knew, because he'd remembered, hadn't he? He'd not forgotten what happened at the Red Sea. He knows that God is capable. He knows that God is faithful. He's not forgotten his story. He's not forgotten his history. He's a man of faith. He's a man who follows in faith. Yeah? So perhaps I'll just leave you with a story. And what I'd like you to do, I'm going to go through those 7 tips just like literally bullet by bullet. And if one leaps out to you, I'd like you to write that down, put it in your phone, just remember it, find some way of clocking onto it, because I think it really takes a lot to follow by faith. I think it's a real challenge, and certainly for me, I feel like I'm living this passage as I'm talking to you about it. That's how important those tips are for me anyway at the moment, so that's why I've wanted to share those with you. So I really hope some of those really resonate for you. And then I'll wrap up. So back in May 2014, I had a dream, a prophetic dream. We believe that God speaks to my wife and I sometimes through dreams. And before I knew what this dream meant, I felt God was saying, you need to put your house on the market without knowing where you're going. My gosh, another crazy thing. I thought, Jo, my wife, bless her, she's put up with a lot over the years, but she's just going to think, seriously, enough's enough, no more crazy schemes. So I really wasn't confident about telling her. So I kind of subtly, kind of gently put it out there as calmly as I could, and waited for Jo to go, what are you on? Why? This is crazy. And she just looked at me and she said, you know what? I think God is saying the same thing. I went, oh my goodness. Wow, it must be God. It really must be God. So it was a real battle, actually. It was a real battle coming to take the next step in that. Jo got diagnosed with a rare nerve condition. She's now on heavy duty medication for that. Unless God does a miraculous healing, that's a lifelong thing. So that really had a massive impact on us. Some other situations went on at the tail end of last year that were also really difficult. And we got to January and we hadn't actually taken a step of faith at all. So we prayed and fasted, and then we put the house on the market without knowing where we're going. And so we visited a few places and we prayed and we sought God, and now we know that we're moving to Colchester. Which doesn't make a lot of sense when you're setting up a project in Hartford, does it? It really doesn't. But we know that God is really clear that I'm called to do this project here, and we're called to live in Colchester. I can't make much sense of that, but I definitely know that's what God said. So, we've journeyed, prayed with people about that, sought lots of counsel on that. It's been a long journey. But the reason I share that with you is because sometimes we have to do crazy things that don't make a lot of sense. I'm not just talking for the sake of it. And then signs follow. And as we step out, God does something amazing. So I'm going to give you these little seven. Hopefully one of them. And I'd really, if I've connected with you in any way, just pick one of these. Don't try and remember all of them. Just go for the one that your heart resonates with. So the first one is, remember what God has done. Okay? Remember what God has done. Don't forget what he's done in your life. The second one is, don't give up, because waiting is worth it. God always keeps his promises. Don't give up. Don't give up. So remember what God has done and don't give up. The third one is that for the new to come, the old has to go. The old has to go for the new to come. The fourth one is focus on God and what he has said. Remember what he has promised to you. The fifth one is take encouragement. Take encouragement from God, take encouragement from others, and take encouragement about yourself. The sixth one is be obedient. Be obedient internally and externally. And the seventh one is step out and signs will follow. Okay. So I'll be around to pray if anybody wants to pray later. I think Pete's going to lead us in a bit of a reflection. Is that right?
Maybe.
Yeah, if that's really speaking to some of you here and you're thinking, yes, I'm in a transition moment, I'm hitting a big faith decision, big step of faith, or God's beginning to stir me that it's time to do something new, then I'd love to pray with you. And thanks for having me. It's been great to be with you.